If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Welcome back, 940. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Coming up after 10 o'clock this morning, the former star of Hamilton, the musical, here in Chicago for 5 years, Miguel Cervantes, involved in a new virtual theatrical project, but also involved in something very special at Rush University Medical Center here in Chicago, related to his daughter who was treated there for years with a rare form of pediatric epilepsy for which she lost her life last year. We'll talk with Miguel coming up after 10. Right now, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer Emeritus at the very prestigious Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Roizen, always nice to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
It's a privilege to be here, Dean. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So the latest figures from the Illinois Department of Public Health, 2,190 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, 18 additional confirmed deaths as of yesterday afternoon. Mayor Lightfoot was out on the lakefront yesterday where people were out enjoying a nice afternoon. It was a beautiful afternoon, but they were enjoying it unsafely, without masks, not social distancing. Can you talk a little bit just about the importance of, if you feel that it is important, I don't want to put words in your mouth, most medical professionals do feel like it's important, but if you could just address that. There was that huge motorcycle rally that took place in the United States yesterday, at which hundreds of thousands...
Yeah, still taking place in Sturgis. So the point is, we expected the country to get a very substantial break from this virus in the summer because coronaviruses, and it looks including this one, decrease their infectivity in the summer. That was opposed by people not wearing masks, congregating, and if you will, not socially distancing, not doing all the things that they had been doing during the lockdown. So when the lockdown came off, apparently we stopped social distancing, we stopped wearing masks as rigorously, and we started gathering in large groups, which caused this surge again. So the virus will, we think, go away if we can retain or regain social distancing, wearing masks, doing the washing and hand hygiene, and keeping separate as much as possible.
Has that been the key to...
But then what we're worried about, Dean, is if this virus behaves normally, it will come back in the fall and or late fall, early winter, meaning it may take till November, December, January. January is when coronaviruses normally come back. But in any case, the point is that we were doing really well, and then we broke the mask wearing and the social distancing and the washing and the hygiene as much. So what your point is really the way almost every medical professional feels. Wear your darn mask because you're protecting others as well as yourself. You're protecting society. You're protecting the economy. And then social distance as much as possible, because then again, you're protecting the economy, you're protecting society, and wash your hands as much as possible. That's really protecting yourself.
Do you think that that's been the key to the successful containment in places like Italy, that early on in the pandemic era, Italy was, just completely out of control and now is a model of virus containment? Has that been the key? Is that how they've been handling it there?
And yeah, so they got very serious about the lockdown, and everyone started really staying in their home and wearing masks and face coverings absolutely religiously, because it was, if you will, killing an awful lot of people in Italy. So they got very serious about it. Now, the risk is, and we hope it doesn't behave like other coronaviruses, but the other coronaviruses get more infective in the month of late November, December, and especially late January and early February. And if that's true, then we don't have a vaccine or effective treatment by then. We are more effective than it is now, and it's pretty darn effective now. We still will have a problem, but it is. Your point is, we will develop more things. So I've just seen the Miami Dolphins put in UVC lights in their locker rooms. UVC FAR 222, special form of light that doesn't cause damage to humans, but does cause viruses, 99% of the viruses, to die within a 8-minute period. So they're getting the air clean as well. So we will find some other things like that, and we'll get cheaper versions of that, LED versions, so schools, et cetera, can be safe, not only from this virus, but from future pandemics. So my hope is that we will learn a lot and be able to improve on things long term. The short-term risk is we won't learn enough, or we won't get treatments and environmental changes fast enough for the return this fall or winter. And we got to get people doing things in a rational way now.
I was going to ask you about probably a number one concern regarding COVID-19, the children returning to school, the potential of children returning to school, talk that children are virtually immune from this virus, which we know is not true, because there have been reports of very small children testing positive, getting quite ill with COVID-19. What's your take, first of all, on the immunability of children and the coronavirus?
Well, so the worst fear with this is that when we develop immunity, it will be short-lived and not last more than 3 months. So the worst fear is that either that our own immunity fades, or that the virus mutates in a way that prevents us from protecting ourselves against it. So that's there are three worst fears, if you will. The second is that it mutates into something much more lethal. It looks like it has a lethality rate that's 2 to 3 times the flu, but not as huge as SARS or MERS. And then the third one is that we never can develop a vaccine against it, like we haven't been able to against HIV. So those are my three worst fears. But as far as the kids going to school, I'm actually the infectivity rate among kids may be the same, meaning they may get the disease, but they don't have a lethal consequence or long-term consequence, as far as we know, from it, any place near the rate. It's probably lower than the flu for kids. The problem is the kids will pass it on in multi-generational families to their grandparents. So, and those are the people who are vulnerable. Some of whom are teachers, obviously, and some of whom are just their grandparents. But that's the real fear. So, again, there are environmental processes such as that UV light, that is UVC 222, that the Miami Dolphins are using, that may be, and we don't have good enough data on it yet, but it looks pretty darn good, the data, that it's safe for humans and that it kills not only this virus but other viruses. So you could put the LEDs with this on every on the back of every kid's school seat so that the kid behind them was safe, if you will, and the whole school was safe from viruses and this type of airborne viruses in the future.
Yeah, that's a great way that I have not heard proposed of trying to get the kids actually back into the classrooms again.
So what we need to do is to get those lights made. They're now fairly expensive to make. I saw that for the locker room, the Miami Dolphins had to spend $250,000. We couldn't spend that for each school classroom, obviously. But when they become LED and become very cheap, and they say, the people manufacturing them say sometime in the 6 to 12 month range, they will have them as LEDs. They'll be very cheap to do, just like our LED lights are that you keep light in the schoolroom. And that will be what would be called a game changer for letting people go into big crowded environments.
Yeah.
So that's one of the hopes. Obviously, the hope of a vaccine is by the end of the year is also a true hope or a successful treatment that is even more successful than the ones now.
312-981-7200. Wanted to get some of your questions answered at home. 312-981-7200. You can call. You can text 312-981-7200. A question comes in, Doctor, about somebody who has tested positive and is now showing symptoms. Were they contagious prior to getting their positive test back? And for how long might they have been contagious? I guess people, somebody asking about possible.
So the average time now from disease infection to symptoms is a little over 4 days, 4.1 to 4.3 by the studies that have been done, with a range of 0 to 10. And some people are never symptomatic at all or don't report any symptoms, so they're unaware of symptoms. But the most infectivity is days 3, 4, 5, and 6. So that if they got tested on, let's just say they got tested on day 5 or 4 when they showed their first symptoms, they might not get the test results back till day 6. So they were maximally infective in those days 3 to 6 already.
Yeah, and hopefully quarantined during that time if they suspected that there might have been a problem. The 630 area code, is it dangerous to go swimming in a pool or a pond?
Only if you're real close to strangers who have the disease. That is, it's not a pond or pool does not propagate the virus, and you don't get it from swimming in pool water. That is, that even if someone who has the disease spits out into the pool, it's very unlikely that that virus will persist in there. It's only the people that they're with.
Yeah, is it because of the chlorine or just that the virus doesn't live in water?
Well, the virus doesn't live well in what would be called lake water, that is non-salt water. Mm-hmm. So the virus would live in ocean water much better. Huh. But it doesn't live in, disintegrates in water to a large degree, and especially in pools with chlorine.
Here is Ron in Tinley Park. You're on WGN with Dr. Michael Roizen from Cleveland Clinic.
Yes, thank you. Before this all started, I had a cleaning lady come into my house once a month to clean, but I haven't had her since. Is it safe to have people like that or repair people come into the house?
Well, what you want is them to be disease-free. So the risk is that they are they're carrying the disease or asymptomatic. So if they wear a mask and use wash their hands well when they come in or use the gel, then there's, and you're distant from them, meaning not in their contact, or you go out of the house while they're in, or you go to a different room, or you stay in different areas, or you open the windows and have lots of ventilation during that time, it's safe. But if they don't wear masks, or if they don't wash, or if they're asymptomatic carriers in that days 3 to 6, then there is some risk. But I think the risk is, especially if you keep socially distancing, you wear a mask, they wear a mask, the risk is very, very low.
847.
And what do I mean by very, very low? It's much less than your risk of getting the flu in the normal flu season.
Okay, thank you for the call, Ron. We appreciate that. The 847 area code asks, is it safe to wash clothes at a public laundromat?
Bleach is a incredible, bleach and soap are incredible causes of the virus to break apart. And so if you're using bleach, absolutely. So you putting in a little bleach in your wash, no matter what has happened beforehand, is absolutely well. And my guess is that since most people in laundries use bleach at one time or another, the chance is almost zero that anything exists in that washer.
Yeah, probably a greater risk of people who are in the laundromat being too close to you or not wearing a mask than picking up anything in any of the machines.
That's exactly right. So get in, put your laundry in, and go outside.
Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer, Emeritus, Cleveland Clinic. Always very nice to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dean. My privilege.